Good morning and welcome to all of you who are joining us this morning via the live streaming. It's good to have you with us and pray that the Lord will bless our worship together and that you might indeed be blessed by it. My name is Pastor Ken Carlson and it's my privilege to be joining you today. Pastor Dawn will be back in the pulpit here next Sunday and back at work again. And thanks this morning to Colin and to Kathleen, to Bob and to Diane for all the work that you do for this particular worship service. At this time then, we will have our watchword for the week.
This is our watchword for the week from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. Today's meditation is titled, The Turnabout Journey. We are on the road to Emmaus, in a fog, experiencing what was vaguely dreaded. We try leaving Jerusalem, where it happened. We walk away with a friend. A stranger appears from behind, then beside us. He is like us, yet different. We find ourselves turning around, going back to the place we so wanted to escape. Does it look and sound the same? Or can we choose to experience Jerusalem differently? Can we allow feelings of loss and grief to reveal humanity and the divine? Today's gospel from Luke describes a turnabout journey. The journey is rough, especially when despair overcomes hope. Luke's gospel points the way. Walk the Emmaus road with a friend. Welcome the stranger. Pay attention to conversation. Know the foundations of your beliefs. Realize that recognizing God may not be immediate. It's all right to be afraid, too. Fear can live alongside hope. But beware of despair. Go anyway, with hope, where you are needed. Peter tells us, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply. Loving deeply is also something we travelers can do.
Thank you, Kathleen. Our prayers today continue to be in great part for the many people who have contracted the coronavirus, for the people who are hospitalized, people who have died and their families, certainly for the healthcare workers, for the many people who are working feverishly to help us to have as normal a life as possible. The request this morning in the list are all people who are ill with COVID-19 or who have died from the disease. The family of Lois Gibson. And Lois would be Pastor Dawn's sister-in-law. Prayers for Mona from Illinois, who is ill. For Teresa from Illinois. For Grace Moravian Church in Queens, New York, who mourn 6 members of their congregation who have died from this disease. For John P. from New York, a friend of Pastor Mark Billington, who is ill. And for a praise report, Pastor Sunette Fleming, who gave birth to a healthy baby girl. All of these people we bring to the Lord in prayer and our other concerns. Let us pray. O gracious God, sometimes our prayers and our words do not seem to match and seem to be sufficient for the situation before us. So much pain, so much upset, so many tears, so much heartache. We bring all of that before you, Heavenly Father. You know our grief even before we experience it. You know us individually and personally, and we bring these many people before you today that you love and care for. For John, husband of Lois, who died, of Mona and Teresa, John. For the Grace Moravian Church in Queens, mourning the death of six of their members, Lord God. Watch over all of them, place your hand upon them. As your Son appeared to people and placed his hands on them and said, "Peace be with you." So we ask for that same peace today for all of us and for especially those who are so heavily affected by the coronavirus. Lord God, watch over them. Give them strength and give them your peace. And Lord God, as we have experienced a wonderful, beautiful day here in Door County, it is a sign of spring, a sign of hope. We pray for signs of hope this day. We pray that everyone might find those signs that you alone can bring, so that our lives might be filled with some sense of that new purpose and new goal and that new hope set before us. Lord God, we pray for all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." At this time, we're going to sing a familiar hymn, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less."
The Holy Scriptures. Our first lesson is from Psalm 116, verses 1 to 4 and 12 to 19. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Our second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God.
And our gospel reading for today is from St. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And I want to just remind all of us that this particular story of the journey on the road to Emmaus comes on the afternoon of Easter. It is mid-afternoon or late afternoon as this journey happens. And so I read for you from Luke. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you are walking along?" They stood still and looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and before all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel, yes. And besides all this, now is the third day since all these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning. And when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer all these things and enter into glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all these things about himself in the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, and he blessed and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, and while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to us." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want you to think with me about these last 4 days and what happened to Jesus. On Thursday, Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room for what has become known to us as the Last Supper. He shared that meal with his disciples, and after the meal, Judas left. The scripture says to do what he must do. Shortly after that, Jesus was arrested. He was put on trial, if you call it a trial. He was found guilty, and he was sentenced to die by crucifixion. On Friday, Jesus is led through the streets of crowded people. They were jeering and laughing at him as he carried his cross on his back and then fell under its weight, and someone helped him. Leading all the way to Golgotha, the place of the skull, it is called. And there he was crucified. Nails through his hands and his feet. And to just make sure that he was certainly dead, they drove a spear through his side. But we know that on Sunday morning, when they came to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away and the body gone. And then Jesus appears to them. And he says, "Go and tell my brothers that you have seen me." Quite a 4 days in the life of Jesus. So what do you do then? Okay, I've seen the women at the tomb. Why don't we just go for a walk? Do a walk. Jesus loved walking. And so he leaves the city, and he heads west out of Jerusalem, heading in the direction of Emmaus. Emmaus is about 7 miles away, and I just need to tell you a little story that I personally had back in 1970. Get this, 50 years ago, this past January. I was in Israel for the first time. I've been there three times. And on this particular journey, we spent 11 nights in Jerusalem. 11 of the 19 days of our trip. And on one of our days, three friends and I decided we're going to walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and we did. But mind you, I was only 29 years old at the time. Walked the 7 miles to Emmaus, and we did take public transportation back home to Jerusalem. I can still see that dusty road. I can envision it in my mind. Jesus walking that road on this day, and two of his followers up ahead. Cleopas by name, one of them. The other one not named. And these two men are walking with mixed moods and mixed emotions going on. They were exceedingly filled with grief because of what had happened. They were there, stood at the foot of the cross and saw him die, saw him take his last breath. But then this morning they had heard rumors of Jesus being alive. Could it really be true? Could it be true that Jesus indeed was alive? And as they walked further down the road to Emmaus, a stranger came and joined them, and they didn't know this person and wanted to know what they were talking about. And they said, well, the things that had happened in Jerusalem. And he says, what things? The man seemed not to know, and yet he knew the scripture. And he opened the scripture for them, and they were amazed by this. And so as they approached Emmaus, it was towards evening, and they asked him if he would come and have a meal with them, and perhaps they stay overnight. And he did that. It was Jesus, but they didn't recognize him. And so they get into the house, and the meal is prepared, and they sit at table. And one would think the host would probably take over. Would perhaps thank God for the meal, give the meal to the other two men, but it was Jesus. It was Jesus who took the bread. And he broke that bread. And he gave it to the disciples, the followers of Jesus. And the scripture says it was like scales had fallen from our eyes. And we could recognize now that this was Jesus. He wasn't a stranger, but he was our Lord. Let me put the whole story into the words of Cleopas, the one man on the journey, as he might have been thinking. We walked as blind men down that dusty road, and our hearts were blinded by our great grief. Just a week ago, the world had seemed so bright, so full of hope and promise. And then they took it away from us, and they killed him. It seemed as if night, darkness suddenly fell over all the earth. We were on the dusty road to Emmaus, and this stranger came. We poured our hearts out to him, told him everything, and then it was time to eat. He joined us. He gave us bread to eat. And the room was aflame with glory. Scales fell from our eyes, and we recognized it was Jesus, and we returned to Jerusalem shouting, "We have seen the risen Lord. He is alive." What an amazing, amazing experience. One of my favorite authors, writers, is a man by the name of Marcus Borg. Marcus Borg died a few years ago. He was born in North Dakota, went to a Lutheran college up there, then went east for seminary, where he met his wife-to-be. She was an Episcopalian priest. They moved to Oregon. He became a very, very prolific writer. His first book is entitled Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. I would highly recommend Marcus Borg in that book. And he writes about this story of the road to Emmaus, and he says, most centrally, the story makes the claim that the risen Christ journeys with us, whether we know it or not. Thus, I do not see this Emmaus Road story as reporting a particular event on a particular day for two men who happened to be there with him. But rather, I see it as a story about how the risen Christ comes to his followers, to you and to me, and he journeys with us even today, again and again and again, whether we recognize him or not. The Lord is with us. Now, to be sure, when Jesus took that bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to these two men, it is a foretelling of this holy meal that we share as Christians. We call it the Lord's Supper. But it also tells us about the Lord's presence with us in those most simple things in life, at the times of the breaking of the bread. In the simple times, the Lord comes. And I was out walking my dog, Augie, this morning. I just looked into the blue skies of Door County and the sunny day we had, cool. And I just felt that presence of the Lord within that time as I was walking simply through the woods. Not only when we're alone, when two or three are gathered. We got five gathered here today. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That's what Jesus says. I'm there. I want to relate a story to you in my 38 years of parish ministry. My congregations, we always had a men's breakfast. A men's breakfast that usually met on Wednesday mornings in my last parish. We met at a place in Milwaukee called Luther Manor. And when we were there, they provided the coffee for us, but we stopped at Cranky Al's, either I or somebody else, and we got the donuts for the day. And probably 15, 25, up to 25 men that were with us at that time. One of the men facetiously said, as on the particular day, as we were discussing this text, the road to Emmaus and the breaking of the bread, he says, it's kind of like the breaking of the donut with us, right here, right now. Well, there was one man by the name of Dan. Dan was our token Roman Catholic who came with a friend who was a member of our congregation. And Dan told us how he was blessed to be a part of the men's breakfast. He went on to share that after one of our gatherings, he went home. And he realized that he had come to know God in a way that he had never known God before. He had come to know God as a gracious God who loves Dan and who loves us all unconditionally. A God who is not waiting to pounce on you when you sin, as Dan often believed in his past. But a God who is there to freely forgive and to wash us clean. That, my friends, was an Emmaus Road experience for Dan. And I'm confident that we have all had and will continue to have those kinds of experiences in our lives as we walk through our life in these tenuous times. And sometimes we recognize his presence with us and sometimes we do not. But be confident knowing that he is there. I was struck by the words of Cleopas as I read them for you earlier. And he said in these words, or in the words that the author put into his head, he said, "Just a week ago, the world had seemed so bright, so full of hope and promise. But now the night, the darkness, seems to have fallen over all the earth. And for us, just 2 months ago, the world was so different. But now, it has all come crashing down upon us. Can't see what it all means, don't understand it. Don't know what the next week will hold, much less the next month, summer, fall, the next year. We don't know what that holds for us. What will the normal be, the new normal? Or will there ever be what we call normal again? These are fearful times. Fearful in so many ways for all of us. My prayer this morning is that that stranger from Galilee might walk with you on your journey throughout life. And that that stranger from Galilee might fill you with hope and joy and peace. Perhaps that stranger is not from Galilee, but maybe from Ephraim, from Fish Creek, from Bailey's Harbor. Wherever that stranger comes from, I pray that that stranger might bring to you that peace of God and that hope that comes from our God for your journey ahead. So let me close with the words of the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.